Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes from Atlanta. Hoynes, you're down there. Going to get your first look at Truist Park, huh?
Yeah, Joe. I can kind of see it out the window of the hotel. I'm pretty close to it. So, yeah, it's a little rain is threatening, though. So, hopefully, it holds off and they get this game in. But right now, I'm excited to see the park. I think this might be the only big league park I haven't seen.
Well, we'll get into a preview of that that series opener tonight here a little bit later on. But first, we want to take a look back at this past series with Boston, and the Guardians pick up a series win and do so in sort of emphatic fashion on Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon. Jose Ramirez once again doing Jose Ramirez things. Not only does he hit the grand slam that sort of puts the game away really right there in the second inning, but he comes back later in the game and gives you the quintessential Jose Ramirez sort of inning at-bat run, the kind of run production that you can only expect and demand from the superstar that he is. What did you think about that seventh inning where Jose singles, steals second, goes to third, and then scores on a passed ball?
Yeah, that was so much fun to watch, and it's so typical of Ramirez, just the way he never stops. He has great instincts. You know, as soon as he stole the bag at second, he was up on his feet. He was looking around and he was moving to third, and then just to have the wherewithal on the pass ball to a score like that when Naylor broke for second, just, classic Jose Ramirez. We've seen it time and time again. The guy's 31, Joe, and he's not slowing down.
No, and we asked Stephen Vogt after the game, what he liked to see more of, what he liked better, the grand slam or the run there in the seventh, running the bases in the seventh. And it's a hard choice because every manager wants a grand slam. A four-run cushion instantly is pretty nice. But, Stephen Vogt, he said, watching him run the bases and doing those elite things that only Jose Ramirez can do was something that he really enjoyed. When he stole second base, it was interesting because he slides in head first, the helmet goes flying, but the ball is sort of, as it skips away from the infielder, it's right in front of him. So he's got that in front of him, and just the instinct and the immediacy of pop up and go to third, and you're at third base with nobody out and Josh Naylor, getting on base behind you. What I thought was interesting was on the pass ball that Josh Naylor goes for second. He's stealing the pitch from from Boston goes, through the sort of as the catcher's going to transfer it for the throw, and he sort of drops it. And the pitcher doesn't move. The Boston pitcher,
Chris Martin
sort of stands there on the mound, and Jose wasn't going to go. He was sort of dancing down the line, and he wasn't going to go until he realized Martin's not moving and I can beat him to the plate. And that's exactly what he did. So it's not just, hustle and heart and all that. It's the instincts and the knowing and the reading of the play the way that Jose did in that situation that really sort of made that whole run happen.
Yeah, and I love the reaction of the Boston catcher, McGuire. He just kind of disgustedly like threw a backhand flip to set to home plate, even though he knew Martin wasn't there at the plate. There was nobody covering it. He just kind of, oh man, it just threw it there. He was trying to play kickball. Maybe he thought if he hit Jose with the ball, he was out.
Well, the other thing is, as soon as Jose crosses the plate, realizes that that little backhanded flip had gotten loose on the infield, he gets up and he's directing Josh Naylor, who was at second base, to go ahead and go to third because no one was going to throw him out. So he's not only, you know, taking extra bases, scoring runs that way, putting immense pressure on that defense and the pitching staff, but then he turns around and he's directing his teammates and coaching on the bases as he's scoring. It doesn't get any better than what he did.
Yeah, that was so much fun. And, geez, just to, you know, have that, you know, Doc Edwards, former Cleveland manager, always said, you know, good ball players, they have like a computer inside their head, you know, that tells you how far they can go, how many bases they can go on a hit, when to you know, take a chance, when to stretch a double into or a single into a double, when to go home on a pass ball, and Jose's computer is clicking at a high degree right now, Joe.
Yeah, what Doc Edwards was describing back then was an algorithm. You know, that's what it is. It's, you know, based on this is what I do, and I guess Jose's algorithm is you know, in high gear right now. The Jose Ramirez run factory was at peak production on Thursday afternoon. Don't want to overlook Will Brennan as well. Will Brennan in that that second inning, you know, starts things off with a one out home run to right field. Later he comes up and he doubles to left. And Stephen Vogt had talked about how, you know, earlier in the season he was a little in between on the fastballs and the off speed. Now it looks like his timing, he is right there driving the ball to left field when he needs to, and he's got enough power to yank it out to right. The wind was blowing yesterday, and Brennan comes through again. This guy loves hitting against Boston. I think he's got 4 home runs in his career against the Red Sox in 11 games, 8 RBIs, and a 1.143 OPS. So he's doing something right every time he sees a Red Sox jersey.
Yeah, he really likes to hit against the Boston pitching staff. He grew up a Boston Red Sox fan, and I think, you know, when he sees that uniform, he kind of lights up, Joe. And this is the kind of player, you know, we saw from Brennan when he was at AAA 2 years ago. When he, you know, when he did, you know, a little bit of everything, he hit for average. He hit for extra base hits. You know, he didn't have a ton of home runs. He didn't have to show that big of power, but he drove in over 100 runs, I believe, at Columbus. And, you know, that's hard to do. Not too many players do that, you know, at AAA, because if they, you know, because before they can do it, they're usually called up. But you know, we saw that well-rounded offensive player that Will can be, and we're starting to get a little peek at it now.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned AAA and his time in the minors. Tyler Freeman, who played alongside him both in the minors at several levels and, you know, now in the Guardians clubhouse. Tyler Freeman, after the game yesterday, just said, this is the Will Brennan that we're used to seeing. This is the guy who, you know, it can make a difference in that lineup by getting like those extra base hits. Yeah, you're right. He doesn't have that raw power that sort of jumps out of the yard. But if you make a mistake to him, he's going to take you deep. And, you know, we've seen him drive the ball more over the last, you know, week and a half. And I think that's something that the sort of middle to lower third of this lineup has really needed over the last, you know, several games. Yeah, they've got the most wins in baseball, but they're doing it and getting contributions from different parts of the lineup, you know, every other day, every other game. And as long as those top guys, Kwan, Ramirez, Jimenez, Josh Naylor, you know, continue to produce, everything you get from Will Brennan is why you're at the spot you're at record-wise.
Yeah, Joe, and I just wanted to get back to Ramirez's slam in the second inning. Take me through that 10-pitch at bat, man.
I mean, that's you had it right there. It was 10 pitches, and really – you're talking about, it was the pitcher was Anderson from Boston. Again, another bullpen game for the Red Sox. They're desperate because of all the injuries to their pitching staff, and we've seen just over the last 2 weeks here how decimated they've been. And Jose said after the game that the more pitches you see in that at bat, the more you learn what the pitcher is comfortable throwing you. And he just finally made up his mind after the fourth consecutive foul ball at the end of the at bat that he was going to look for a cutter on the inside part of the plate, and that's exactly what he did. He saw it, and he clobbered it into the right field seats. That's the kind of like veteran at bat. That's the kind of just superstars have those kind of at bats where you kind of talk to yourself throughout it, and at the end you just say, okay, well, this is where he's going with this. I know, and I'm gonna sit on this pitch, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, it reminded me of that one crazy at bat. I don't know if you remember it, against Houston. Remember, like three or four
Framber
years ago?
Valdez in Houston. Yep.
Yeah, and about it was at I think it was in Cleveland. It was like in the ninth or tenth inning, and he
No,
had like one.
it was in Houston.
Oh,
There was one,
okay.
he did it to Framber Valdez in Houston, and he might have done it again later on, but the first time he did it, he homered off a like an 11 pitch at bat against Framber Valdez in Houston. I remember I was at the game.
Yeah, and that's just amazing to me. And yesterday, like he did catch a break, but the Boston catcher dropped a third strike, didn't he? I thought he, yeah. So, but that just shows you how you give this guy one little crack in the door, and he's going to bust it open. He just really a fun player to watch. And we've said this so many times before that we're seeing this guy, Joe, for his whole career. We get to watch him for his whole career. And he hasn't taken a backward step. All he's done is gotten better.
Yeah, and you talk about his whole career. That hit, the Grand Slam hit, was hit number 1,353. That tied him with Jim Thome for 12th on the all-time hits list for Cleveland. And his base hit that got him on base in the seventh before he scored that exciting run was hit number 1,354. So that moved him into sole possession of 12th place on the all-time list. His Grand Slam was his sixth of his career. That tied him with Rocky Colavito and Andre Thornton for the sixth most Grand Slams in a career for Cleveland. I still can't get over number one on that list is Manny Ramirez at 13.
Yeah.
13 Grand Slams, Hoynesy?
Yeah.
Hey, you
Well,
probably saw. You pro
when you hit 555 home runs, Joe, you're going to have some slams in there.
Well, I was going to
Manny,
say you probably saw most of them,
jeez.
right?
Well, yeah, I saw most of them. And Pronk is second with 12, right?
Right, yeah. Travis Hafner, 12 behind him, and I believe Jim Thome is up there. I think he's got seven, so he's next on the list. So, and Al Rosen and Jim Thome are on the list. I think Al Rosen has nine, and Thome and Bell are tied with seven. So that's the pecking order for Grand Slams if you want to dive into that. But I mean, six Grand Slams is a mouthful. 13 is just utterly ridiculous. So
Yeah, and after Pronk had 6 in 1 year, six
I was going to
slams in
say
one
half.
season.
Half of those were in 1 year for Travis Hafner, which and they weren't they all before the All-Star break or something? They were
Yeah,
that was
just
that was
about. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, that's the craziest part about all that. So, all right, Hosey, his slam, we've got that all covered. Before we get into breaking down the upcoming series here, I want to remind our listeners, subscribe to Guardian Subtext. We've had some great stuff going out through our texting service and some great interactions with our readers there. It's $3.99 a month to subscribe. You go to cleveland.com/subtext or send a text message to 216-208-4346. The Gavin Williams news the other day, we had that out on subtext immediately as soon as we heard Gavin Williams A bit of a setback in his progression throwing. He's going to be down for, what, 7 days after receiving an injection in his elbow. And they hope that they can keep him on schedule for a throwing program. He won't fall too far behind. But, you know, just, you know, troubling news on Gavin Williams after he'd been up to, what, 3 innings and 47 pitches in Arizona last week.
Yeah, not a great piece of news coming out of the Guardians clubhouse on that, Joe. Right now they have six pitchers on the IL, and you know, we haven't even really seen Gavin Williams, you know, step on the mound during the regular season yet. And I you know, I fear that, you know, he gets this shot in his elbow, he can't throw for 7 or 8 days, and where does that put him, Joe? I mean, you know, he just went through his second spring training. Do we see this guy by the All-Star break, or do we see him maybe after the All-Star break?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's going to take a while for him to build up even after he gets clearance to do so. So you know, you don't know, maybe him joining the staff you know, right around July or something like that would be sort of like a trade deadline move. You can add from within that way, but definitely a troubling development there with Gavin Williams, and we'll continue to monitor that. We did get some interesting prospect news here yesterday, Hoynsie. What do you think of the idea of a 6'1", 260-pound left-handed prospect who goes by the name of Tugboat, and just went out and did something only Warren Spahn, Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw, and I think Don Wilson and Nolan Ryan were the only other major leaguers to accomplish this. He matched them with 15 strikeouts over six no-hit innings yesterday. Matt Tugboat Wilkinson for the Lynchburg Hillcats. What do you think when you hear Tugboat? And I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, I love that nickname, man. Get him up here right now, Joe. Let's see what he can do.
I'm telling you, this guy gives off, you know, just mini CC vibes. You look at him, you look at his build, you look at his delivery. He's a little left-handed CC Sabathia.
That definitely. He's a few inches shorter than CC, but and maybe a few pounds lighter than CC. But hey, if he strikes out what, 15 guys in six innings, you know, that's very, very encouraging. And you know, I'm sure it'll be interesting to see how he progresses through the system now.
Well, talk about progressing through the system. I mean, maybe by June, you could expect him to be looking for promotion to high A, Lake County, Lynchburg, of course, the low A. That's the bottom level of their minor league affiliates right now. Could you imagine Tugboat pitching for the Lake County Captains? The stories write themselves.
Tugboat saves the Captains.
There you go.
Tugboat steers the Captains out of rough waters. All right,
there you go.
Let's just go with it, Joe.
It's perfect. I mean, this kid is 21 years old. He's not like some sort of you know, big heralded prospect. He was a 10th round pick last year in the draft out of an Arizona junior college. But he's out there right now, 41 strikeouts, leading all of minor league baseball. He's started four games. He's 2-0 with a 0.42 ERA. That leads the Carolina League. I mean, this is some outstanding stuff from a kid who I don't think anybody had on their radar in terms of, you know, prospect, you know, value or anything like that.
Yeah, I wonder how hard he throws. Have you heard anything?
I don't know about what his heat, you know, registers at, but I think he right now he's got a three pitch mix. You know, might have to work on a curveball as well as his slider and his changeup, which he used pretty well, you know, in the outing yesterday. But yeah, I don't know if he's a hard thrower yet. I gotta imagine just looking at his build. I mean, this kid's a hoss. He looks like if he's not on the mound, he should be out there working a thresher or something. I mean, that's what he looks like. So we'll continue to keep an eye on Matt Wilkinson, the the latest Guardians pitching prospect. He did tell MLB Pipeline in a story that I read last night, you know, that he thought he knew a lot about pitching when he you know, he was drafted and he got to Cleveland. But now that he's been in the vaunted Cleveland pitching factory and listened to the coaches down there at Lynchburg, I mean, he says, you know, I knew nothing compared to this. This is, I've learned so much just in the short time he's been there. So just something to keep an eye on. Matt Wilkinson, the hefty lefty, could be coming up to Lake County sometime soon.
Yeah, definitely. That's great news.
All right. We want to get into and start looking at this big upcoming series between the Guardians and the Braves. Of course, the Braves, you know, one of the diamond franchises of the league, the you know, the always you know, a well-run organization, always contending in the American or in the National League East. This is a team that won a World Series a couple years ago and was in shape to do the same thing last year before getting bounced out in the wild card, or not the wild card round, the divisional round by the Phillies. Just, you know, what would finding success in a series like this mean for the Guardians at this point in the season? It's obviously too early, you know, to judge anything by this, but how much of a litmus test could this be for Cleveland if they're able to come out with a series win?
Oh, Joe, I think that would be huge for this team. Right now, Cleveland is 18-7. The Braves are 17-6, the two best records in baseball. You know, the Braves won 104 games last year. They won the East. Cleveland, what, lost 86 games last year. So this is opposites meeting, and you know, no one expected Cleveland to be here like this, to have a start like this. So if they you know, can hold their own against the Braves, maybe win a game or two games, I think that would be huge for them for an early season test. And like you said, it does it carry much weight, you know, 2 weeks from now? No. But you know, if they come out of Atlanta with a series win or you know, a good performance, a solid performance, you know, that I think that really helps a young club. That would show them that yes, we can play with the best in MLB.
Yeah, I don't think they have to necessarily, you know, win all three games or even win the series. They can come out of there with you know, losing two out of three. But if they're competitive and down to the last at bat and, you know, really sort of pushing Atlanta, you're talking about a team that almost doubles your payroll. You're talking about a team with superstars up and down their lineup, and as opposed to the Guardians, who are establishing themselves and making the name for themselves. Both teams have lost, you know, major starting pitching due to injury. And that's, you know, we're robbed of a potential Shane Bieber, Spencer Strider matchup because both of them are down with elbow surgery this year. That's awful. I think that stinks. But, you know, the guys that are there are the ones that are going to step up. It lines up pretty good for Cleveland. They've got their three best pitchers lined up for this, this series. Logan Allen starts tonight, Tanner Bibee, and then you get Ben Lively on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Allen, this will be his sixth start. You know, his I think his fifth in April. You know, he's coming off a 5 1/3 inning performance. He's going to go up against Chris Sale, who the Guardians have a long history against. Sale has made 32 appearances against Cleveland, Joe. 21 as a starter. You know, we remember him coming up with the White Sox when he was a number one pick there, pitching out of the bullpen for Ozzie Guillen, then becoming one of the most dominant starters in baseball. And then, you know, just kind of running into a tough stretch with Boston with injuries. But, you know, really, really a fun guy to watch. And really a competitor, and you know, Cleveland has had some success against him. Now those are totally different lineups, but yes. You know, so they have a pretty good record against Sale.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what version of Chris Sale Cleveland gets to see, because we've seen Cleveland has seen many versions of Chris Sale at many different points throughout his career. And, you know, we'll see what the Atlanta version of Chris Sale has in store for the Guardians when they meet up beginning tonight at Truist Park. Hoynes gets to scratch another ballpark off his card. So good one there. All right, Paul, we'll check back in with you on Monday, or rare Monday off day, I think,
yeah,
at the beginning of next week. So we will check in with you from Houston at that time. Until then, we'll talk to you again.
Good deal, Joe.